Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we're talking about the traders this week once again. We are not talking about anything related to food, although our goddess, Kristen Kish, host of Top Chef, is really coming into her own. We've got some stuff to talk about with her this week. But, Bits, do we have any leftovers from last week?
You know what? I don't think we do. I think we just got to get into it.
But I will say I'm glad that people enjoyed our interview with Sophie Segretti from Survivor.
It was really fun having her on. And like that was the perfect inside take because like yes. her cohort, like her ilk is like a featured element of Traders universe. It's just it was super cool. So fun.
She's a great gal. Lots of good insight into the gamer mentality. But okay, if we've got nothing to cover from last week, without further ado, Bits, let's begin.
Okay, Nancy. Season 4, episode 8. What is your amuse-bouche reaction this week?
My amuse-bouche right out of the gate is like the numbers are dwindling.
I felt the same way. Like it felt very obvious in a way that it hasn't up until this week.
Yeah. Like we're just running to the end of this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my like immediate feeling this week. Cause I was just like, oh, this is where the alliances really come into play. Like episode 8 and 9, I think, are the sweet spot of the Traitor season. The way everyone, we talk about this with every show that we cover, which apparently is all of them at this point. Like the beginning of the season, it's a lot to keep track of because there are so many people. And this is true of Top Chef too. The end of the season, frankly, a little boring because like you're stretching out like three people's storyline for an entire hour as opposed to having all these little bits and bobs. Right.
But see, I don't think that that's ever the case with the Traitors. Like they like take it up to the end, you know, because even in the finale, it's like, are these people going to turn on each other or not? You know? So, but I hear you. This, we are certainly in the sweet spot. It's only going to get better, I think. I will say my amuse-bouche this week is, are we still having a good time? Like that goes for everybody in the castle. Like I feel like people are kind of forgetting it's a game. And now I don't remember the social media part being such a character last season, you know what I mean? Like the sort of like on air and IRL drama happening concurrently with, you know, Rob and Candace like really like beefing? Like she could say these guys like, I'm like, guys, it's like a silly game. Just I don't know. It's stressing me out at this point. Whatever. But it was an amazing episode, and there's a lot to pick apart here because we. Should we get into it? Should we get into the turret?
We should get into the turret. So pretty much the holdover from last week is Lisa has been eliminated. And Rob, his fellow traitor, really led the charge on that elimination. And so Candace is rightfully feeling incredibly defensive, incredibly like vindictive.
Yeah.
And they get to the turret and we see this face off between the two of them. Because Rob has zero remorse, absolutely none. And Candace is like, how can you just sit there feeling like you didn't do anything wrong, like you turned on your fellow traitor? This does remind me of his presence on Love Island.
He's Love Island Rob now. For sure I have the same feeling. And totally. Honestly, that's why my hackles get up a little bit in defense of Candace. But at the same time, he's playing a good game. And it's a game. You know, Love Island also kind of is a game, but it's a little bit more manipulative by nature where this is your – it's – I don't know. He says this at one point in the episode. Like, it's called Traitors, you know? that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah. He is the type of guy – I would by no means insult him to say he's a simple guy, but he is an incredibly literal, straightforward guy. He looks at the thing right in front of him and says – how do I move past this?
Yeah, exactly.
He's just approaching things as they come, whereas I think some of the housewives, I mean, particularly Candace in this episode, feel really thrown for a loop by Rob. And their egos are a bit burned. They feel a bit bamboozled because they're – I honestly, I don't even know how to psychoanalyze it, but I'm seeing this very interesting dynamic coming from Candace that I think maybe she's used to being on a show that's not a competition show. And so she's this dynamic of people being eliminated and strategy, and she's – he's getting one over on her pretty consistently.
Well, I think all these people are used to being – for the people that are reality TV people, like they're just used to being the center of attention. Yes, and then you just have a world where it's like other people are – okay, wait, so – I'm a supporting character now. So anyways, okay.
We're getting ahead
of ourselves. They basically have the decision tonight to murder or to recruit. Yeah. In the sort of like official Traitors podcast, they had Candace on this week. Definitely recommend listening. But one of the things that they asked her, you know, like, what if any regrets that she had? And she said, I wish I would have pushed harder to recruit that night, which I thought was interesting. What do you think of their decision to forego in favor of murdering? And what did you think of the Colton pick?
I mean, just really brilliant gameplay by Rob. I feel reluctant. I know the internet is turning on him because he's allied himself with Colton, who's persona non grata, and you know, he took down some really great housewives. But what do I make of the decision not to recruit? That was your first question.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing. I actually think every time in the past where they've recruited, I always think that it's maybe to their detriment. Like, again, law of big numbers, we have a lesser chance of getting out a traitor if they don't recruit. That's number one. And I also think it's just you keep the control. There is clearly a lot of discord between Candace and Rob, and their dynamic is not solid. They don't trust each other.
Yeah.
And for either of them, introducing a new person into the mix is way more of an unknown than – it's way more of the devil than the devil you know.
Right.
And I think it was right not to recruit. That said, boy, did Rob lay a trap for Candace.
Yes,
with this one.
I know. Holy so shit. Good. So good. I
and
love
you could
it.
And see that she was like, when she figured it out, her eyes, she was like, oh no, this child's not going to fuck with me.
No, I know. I know. And I love that he like gave just enough resistance to make it like, not suspicious, but I thought that was so smart. And honestly, like it, I mean, there was literally no reason for him to to tell her. So
I was going to say, he's just a fuckboy in his 20s, you know, like he is doing to Candace what he's probably doing to all the girls he's DMing on him.
No, you know,
Ryan, all these things, you know,
like what I saw, he was like, do you remember the, character from SNL, Chad? Okay.
Yes.
That's who somebody on the internet compared them. Oh. And now I can't unsee that. Okay. Like, there's a skit on SNL that is starring Pete Davidson, and the like punchline is that there's this guy that's just like this super airheady kind of like dude bro, but like all these like the whole punchline is that these beautiful women just like fall over him and like, oh my god, like Chad, like we need to run away together, and he just gives nothing. He's like, okay. So anyways, definitely look it up. It's really funny. But that, now that I know that that's kind of Rob's energy, that's what this is, because it's just a bunch of all these women that are like going nuts. Like either they don't have his attention or they believe him like completely to a fault. So we get out of the turret. We kill Colton. Okay. The room is obviously super shocked at breakfast. Mm-hmm. We definitely have removed kind of like the number one shit stirrer in the castle. And it was, you could just like feel it for that. This episode, there's like no headpiece. And honestly, now almost Rob has made himself like king of the faithfuls.
Yeah.
You know, like there isn't any other. And the thing that I wrote down to ask you about, or just to bring up too, was like, I'm shocked to the point you made, there's so few people in the castle that nobody is even trying to, no one is stepping back from a name to try to logic out more than nobody's trying to logic out more than a name as far as who is in the castle or characteristics. Like, we get a little bit of like, well, there has to be a guy in there. There has to be a strategist because, like, it wasn't Lisa. But I just – there hasn't been much logical strategic thinking around who is in the turret yet. And I find that very weird for as far as we are in this season.
It's a great point. I mean – I hate to say it, but Michael Rapaport called it very early in terms of strategic thinking, to your point, where he said, it's got to be one of the hunks. It's got to be Stephen Colton or Rob.
I love that.
He hit the nail right on the head in episode three. And he was thinking, you know, it's going to be a housewife. It's going to be someone. It's going to be a bozo nobody knows. And then it's, you know, a random third person.
Right.
And yeah, there's no deductive reasoning happening whatsoever.
Yeah,
for the most part, it still feels like they're just throwing shit at the wall. But yeah, I will say that the breakfast room felt a lot lighter with Colton in it. Like, I could feel his absence in a positive way. Not to jump on the bandwagon of the whole internet disliking him. He just had an incredibly lame, narc energy to me that I just couldn't get behind.
And he sort of like had to make it obvious that he was watching you always.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was – it was like weird. It's like, stop. So I will say though about this episode, this was maybe my favorite challenge of like the entire season.
This episode –
maybe season too.
Yes. So funny. No. The dolls and Tom Sandoval. But this was the Tom Sandoval doll moment. I think that they have – mastered this type of challenge that I don't think we've ever really seen on competition reality TV before, which is contains the element of the game telephone, where like someone has to describe something and another person needs to translate it, but everybody's working with incomplete information.
Yes, yes.
Chef's kiss.
That's so true. It's the same thing. Yeah. I don't think I really fully appreciated that.
And it yields absolute hilarity. Like, I was laughing out loud nonstop. You know who was really cracking me up this challenge? Was Eric with the grass? Are you kidding me? He was incredibly funny.
The one with the milkmaid one that they like somehow didn't get. I love that they couldn't get the other groups. I was like, they're not than the first group. They're actually like pretty fine too. Just for whatever reason, they could not figure out, like, they got three of them wrong.
It was so funny.
Oh my God.
It was so, to take it way back and obviously center it on me. When I was in college, I had to take, for my art history degree, I had to take like a practical art class. And so I took painting. And for the final exam, we had to do this exact project, which is we had to get a friend who was not in the class to take a photo of something, write a written description of the photo, and then they just sent you the written description. And you had to paint from the written description. And then at the end, they sent you the photo.
Wow.
And it was truly one of the most memorable assignments I've ever done in my life. And it's just really interesting how literal you need to be to describe something, how people interpret things so differently.
That's
and it
so
just played
cool.
out in such a fun way. I loved it.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Maybe someone from my college painting class is a challenge producer on The Traitors because truly, it verbatim, that was my final exam in college.
And I love that they're just like in a dusty room with a bunch of with a bunch of paintings. And our girl Kristen got the shield. I was very excited about that.
You know what? Actually, sorry. Can we pause to talk about Kristen for a second?
Yeah.
Number one. She's so good. I mean, she clocked it immediately. She said, we're in a warehouse with all these paintings and only one has a back on the canvas. She just rips it open. Within 2 minutes, she gets the shield. She's brilliant. I would not have figured that out. But Kristen has had sort of an interesting arc online this week, which is she tweeted, posted on Instagram, I don't know what forum. But essentially, she said that she was doing a lot of really intense strategy work at this point in the castle.
Yeah.
But none of it is getting shown on the show. And so, and apparently what she was doing essentially is she said she and Mark essentially had an alliance of just the two of them and they did not trust anyone. And they, I think what she said was they each like guessed who a traitor was and they became very, very close to that person. And they were just, she's talking about like the machinations that they were doing in the castle.
Right.
And I was watching another video of this creator I'm now obsessed with. I keep quoting her. It's Liv on Air. I asked her to come on the pod. She didn't respond. But she used to be a reality TV producer and she talks about it. And she said they definitely were explicitly asking questions to Kristen about her strategy. Like there, she said there, Kristen's definitely telling the truth. It's not like on Housewives when they're like, "You're, it's out of context. You didn't show the whole clip." She's like, "No, no, no." She's definitely telling the truth. She was definitely doing some crazy strategy stuff. They were definitely explicitly asking her questions about it, which is why she was under the impression that it would be on the show. But clearly that's just not the A plot of the show. And so they've decided to – like it's right. just not as interesting as what's going on with Johnny Weir and Candace, you know? So all right. to say, Kristen's just having a really interesting moment. Also in that interview you said with Candace and the Official Traitors podcast – she said her biggest regret was not only not recruiting, but also not recruiting Kristen.
Yes. Yes.
Our girl's crushing that. It. She's so good.
And then when she came out in the episode and was like, I need to just assume it's the opposite of what I think. Like Rob. Yes. But it could never be Rob. So I'm like, know. No.
No.
It
she
is.
She looked great this week too. She's in that gold suit. Ooh.
Yeah.
White turtlenecks.
Great looks all around.
Anyway, that's my chart. But okay, let's talk about some of the photos. I mean, the challenge was just so hilarious. It had me – the Maura Dorinda dynamic is really
good. Yes, was
too.
Very good. Was very good. That one where they were doing something with the wall and then someone was like in the background just like off – you know? That I don't even remember exactly, but the visual of like Tara Lipinski in the shrubbery. Oh, it was
so
really good.
Good.
And then the last one that was like all traitors, and they're like, no, it's like more violent than that. It's like,
yeah, like
traitors.
That doesn't look like it. I will say that they got, unfortunately, the description of that one was unfair because it said like traitors are arguing with each other. And then you saw the painting. It was like, there's no arguing.
They're not, yeah, they're just four standing around. Yeah. Stupid.
Stupid.
Well, they got, I think they got 5 out of 8. They like didn't get 3 of them.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of money this season.
Seriously.
Oh my God. Anyways, the other thing that happens, and this is before the challenge, is that Candace's name gets thrown out as we expected it to.
Yeah.
Colton planted it. Colton also kind of dropped like the Steven name, but I think Steven's like just too blah. You know, like he's too faithful.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone's.
Do
maybe,
you
who
think?
Knows?
Because there's obviously a ton of footage left on the cutting room floor. Do you think Colton was saying everyone's names and they just like cut it when it's convenient for the person they want to talk about?
That's not a bad idea. I mean, it could be that. But at the same time, I think if that were the case, they would just make him like ridiculous. Like this guy's just throwing out everybody's name. You know, that would have been like
the
story probably.
The Michael Rapaport edit.
But it's. Yeah, exactly. But that's a reason that could very well be. And then, anyways, in this conversation, Candace's name comes up with like Natalie and Eric and this crew, and Rob kind of like drops in a little. You know, he's not the one throwing the name out, but he's like, yeah, you know, Colton said her name, and so we're off. You know, to the races on that one. There's officially going to be some traitor on traitor at the round table. Let's talk about the round table because I think this one was uncomfortable.
Let's talk about the round table, but very quickly I have something in my notes that Eric is a full-on Disney prince, the way he looks, the way he swoops his hair. He just, to me, is a Disney prince. I'm becoming increasingly obsessed with him in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. Ooh. His general, like, physicality is very, like, Disney prince too.
Yeah. But yes. Okay. So let's get into the round table. So coming into the round table, the names that have been floated are Candace, Steven, and are those the two people or was there a third that people were going
Candace,
for?
Candace, Steven. I think that was it.
Yeah. That's what people tend to be thinking. And
Tara
big,
did, or Natalie was like on Tara for some reason, but that like, that didn't.
That was revenge. Yeah.
Revenge vote.
Revenge. But yeah, we don't. So, well, before we go into the roundtable, actually, we have this confrontation between Rob and Candace where they're essentially like,
ooh, yeah.
If you draw your sword,
I'm going
to draw my sword. Yeah, can I talk to you for a sec? And it's this pretty intense stand down.
Yeah.
Where they're both very tacitly threatening the other while promising not to go after the other.
Yeah. It's really uncomfortable. They're and so uncomfortable to watch.
It's uncomfortable because Rob is literally straight out of a dating show, and he's like, his association with reality TV is like flirting and like getting people to like him, and Candace is a real housewife. Like, yeah, they just come from such different worlds. And I think that Rob is like pretty put off is not the right word, but pretty taken aback by the intense housewife energy. Like, I don't think he realized what it was. And I think Candace is really confused by the romance Love Island energy that Rob is giving.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, it's just his like general, he's just not giving her anything.
Yeah. Cause housewives are like, he's not like people rising. Who say what they're thinking.
Yeah. And also like their whole vibe is escalation. Like everything escalates and then gets diffused somehow. But like, he just doesn't escalate with her. And I think that that is why there's like this like friction between them, because he just is like, okay, he's Chad. He's not gonna escalate.
And so going to the round table, we don't know if they're gonna draw their swords, but very quickly the swords are out. Like, it takes 2 seconds for Candace to just go in on Rob, which
because he dropped his fork at breakfast. I love that. I mean, honestly, stupider rationale has been given. I will say that.
Yes, that is very true. This, I mean, somehow makes her look worse, but I'm amazed that it's not piquing anyone's interest on Rob.
I'm sorry. I could not shut up about that fact. I brought that up to Alex multiple times. I was like, how in the world is it that she voted for him last week? She voted for him this week. She ends up being a traitor, and not a single person said anything to that effect. That is crazy to me.
Crazy.
And if that does not come up next week, I will literally be like, these people are not going to win. These faithfuls have no chance.
Yes.
If there is not any seed of doubt on Rob after Candace is like double back-to-back Rob votes, then I don't know. These people do not deserve to win.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it is getting either it's the editing and truly no one has suspected Rob for the past 3 weeks, or they are he's really hoodwinking them.
Right. And like, even when they came out and people are like, wow, she's like, he's like, yeah, I don't know what that was about. Like, literally nobody said a thing. And so Nail went in her coffin. I feel bad because I feel like if she didn't vote for Rob last week, they could have gone pretty far. I mean, her name probably would have come up this week, but the benefit, I am inclined to believe that Rob may have tried to not throw her under the bus this episode. Like, if there was some, I think he would have probably directed some of that suspicion towards somebody else or like deflected. I actually don't think he would have, I really don't think he would have gone for Candace had she not voted for him last week, but maybe that's like a generous take.
Yeah, it could be. It seemed like once, I like to think too that, you know, he was smarter than that, than to just like doggedly go after 2 traitors in a row.
Right.
That's also quite suspicious. That's getting into Boston Rob territory, the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
But I think that once Rob got a taste of traitor blood, he was not going
like,
to stop.
Oh, like that was easy. Okay.
I think if Candace had been like, I'll do whatever you want me to do, this is an alliance, you and me until the end, he still would have taken her to the ground.
Yeah. I think he would too. Maybe he wouldn't have this episode, but he would have eventually.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, let's talk about his strategy for recruiting. Because I actually think that he threw out the idea of – it was basically Johnny, Eric. Even before he said that, I was like, Johnny would be a great pick because Johnny's like probably like the biggest shitster. Not that he like really is all that much, but of the people there. And he's just, it would be the easiest person to kind of like like rinse, repeat the strategy that he's done now with Lisa and Candace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like throwing him under.
That is very true. He's also, Johnny's just very clearly a faithful. Like he's not going to get voted out.
Right, right. And I think he could, I honestly think that with, I'm going to be interested on Eric. Like I think that, I'm like honestly worried he's not going to be able to hide it. Like live.
Yeah, I you know. I mean, Eric is my sweet, he's so sweet pure. Disney prince.
Yeah, he's just so pure of heart. And even like his expression when he sees Rob, like, that made the whole episode worth it, honestly. Just, like, getting to experience somebody finally realizing that this man is a traitor.
Yeah.
Like, just says all – I'm like, okay. I get, you know, the whole, like, narrative as well. You know, now Rob can control him and this and that. It's like, okay, but that presumes that Eric can like, keep a lid on it. Yeah. And not be, like, so weird when people are, like – you know, asking. I'm actually really excited to see how this goes. Yeah. For that reason.
It's going to be super interesting. A few things here. One, the cinematography of this was gorgeous.
What, truly, like the reveal?
Yeah, like framed with the castle in the background and Rob standing there and the lights on the stairs.
Yeah.
It was a stunning image. Like I was visually rapt in this moment. So that's number one. Shout out to the Traitors, like Oscar winning production team they've got there. That's number one. Number two, yeah, Eric's reaction was delightful, the shock, but he was so nervous and he's like, I can't do this. What do we think? He's definitely going to accept it. He doesn't want to go home. I don't think he's going to do like an honor killing and just like say goodbye.
No, who would do that? That's like the dumbest thing ever. That is even an option is like crazy to me.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense why someone would do that. Especially because we know like on the back end, the payment structures, you know, you get paid by the number of episodes that you're on.
After, yeah, you like literally nothing.
You get so
lose.
Much screen time. The other thing that I wanted to say is that somehow this has, like, they've gotten rid of a ton of the Bravo people. I understand Kristen counts as a Bravo person, but we all know that it's sort of different. It's a lot of the rando nobodies left at the end of this
game. Yeah, it's
a
lot of randos. Okay, so we have Natalie, Mark, Kristen, Tara, Johnny, Rob, Eric. Is that it? Only seven
Dorinda.
Left? Dorinda. I think that's it.
See, I actually...
Oh, and Mara.
Yeah, Mara. First off, I was a little disappointed that he only picked men, whatever. That's like
but not surprised.
That's my 2016 The Future is Female talking. Yeah, but also not surprised. I would like to make a case for Dorinda being a traitor, being recruited in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because
let me hear it.
First, she's the last of the housewives and they're going to, you know, Portia's gone and then two of the housewives were traitors. I think picking the final housewife as the traitor is actually, in terms of when people start doing the real deductive reasoning and strategic math of this, people aren't going to discount her because they're going to say, well, it can't be all housewives. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, she's played this game really well. I don't really think she has any strong alliances in the castle now that all the housewives are gone because they were essentially just all of her friends. She didn't go out and make any strategic alliances outside of Bravo Housewives. And she's a real kook. Like, I think that she could have been a really interesting pick for the turret at this point in the game. I'm happy that she wasn't made a traitor just because she got kicked off first time last go around and we wanted to see her succeed. But I think now would have been the time to really twist the knife and like throw Dorinda into the mix.
Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. I think that would would have been interesting. But
you know
I do
what?
Think somebody could have like played it out like, oh, the best person that you could have picked was, you know, if someone got recruited, it would be really smart to recruit a housewife because all the other housewives were also traitors. So they wouldn't think that we would think that. So that's why they thought that, you know.
Well, the other thing is logic. I get outside of the sort of reverse psychology that you were just describing. Now that I think about it, Dorinda's not going to trust Rob. He sent home
true.
Portia, Caroline,
and he's not gonna trust
Lisa,
her.
And Candace. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
Never mind. I take it back. There's no world where that would have happened. I just would have liked to have seen it. That's all.
I think, honestly, I think Candace had it right. I think Kristen would have been a great pick.
Yeah.
But I do think that of the people left, I think at some point Kristen will come under scrutiny for potentially being a traitor.
I do too. But you know what I'm thinking? Now that I'm really attuned to how this show is edited, Kristen's name has been up for murder almost every single episode, which is kind of insane. And do we think that Kristen wins the traitors? And it's this narrative of like she was constantly under scrutiny and under fire, and yet nevertheless she persisted.
It could be. It could be.
Just now that I think about it, looking back, she has gotten a lot of attention from the traitors.
Yeah, I think that how she plays next episode and the episode after that is going to be a big indicator for how far she goes, because I feel like she is she's not like a ringleader enough that I as a faithful want to keep her around because she's like throwing the scent off, but she's also very loyal to Rob, and so I could see like Rob respecting that and taking her to the end versus somebody, you know, like it may make sense for him, for instance, to get rid of like Johnny and Tara before he would get rid of Kristen because they're just closer. And I think that maybe she'll stick around. I think that maybe the traitors will keep her around for the reason that she may be a convincing traitor as like a protective shield. Yeah. But
ugh, so interesting.
I don't know. I wish we could see some of the strategy that she's talking about, because
I know
who knows. Maybe like she's on to Rob, and that's not what we're seeing yet. I don't know.
Ugh. Well, we'll find out next week on episode 9 of The Traitors. If you want to hear us yap about it, we'll see you there.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.